Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Well, today is January 7th, 2021. And of course, this podcast will be online for a long, long time. This is very up-to-date podcast to find out about some of the, you know, very difficult and from my perspective, unfortunate things that happened in Washington, D.C., the day that the Senate was voting to certify the election. There were some rallies in Washington, D.C., and a friend of mine named Pastor Caleb Cooper from New Mexico texted me a day or two ago and said he was driving all the way from New Mexico up to Washington and then was given an opportunity to actually be on the White House grounds. And when I found that out, I contacted him and said, would you do a podcast? I want to find out from your perspective what really happened, or at least what you saw happening. You don't want to miss this podcast, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Pastor Cooper. You pastor New Hope Revival Church in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And you've been my guest on a couple of podcasts, and you've written for us, and you're an interesting guy. So let me start by asking, what prompted you to drive all the way from New Mexico up to Washington, D.C.?
Well, Steve, first of all, thank you for having me on again. I will say, you know, when I had that Holy Spirit prompting to get to D.C., I wrestled with it probably like many did. I know a lot of people that thought about going. They said, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to, you know, and they didn't get a release, and others got a release, you know. And so I didn't get my release till about Sunday afternoon after ministering Sunday morning. I met with a couple of friends, and it came up, and immediately I felt the Spirit of God starting to speak, get on those grounds. And I wrestled with it inside. It's a long drive. It costs money. There's a lot of challenges. I mean, we're driving 34 hours to get, you know, to the nation's capital. And so I sat on it for about a day, but I couldn't shake it, Steve. There was a moment where I felt the Spirit of God prompting. So we gathered our family. We got in the vehicle, and we started traveling. And we really just drove straight through. We just rotated drivers and, you know, stopped for gas. And so we got on those grounds. We got there early, early in the morning, January 6th, got the vehicle. We rented a vehicle there just to get into D.C. quick. And when we got there, and again, we can dialogue about a lot of different aspects of this, but when we got there, the people were starting together early in the morning. And they were starting to surround that Capitol. I mean, marching, stop the steal signs. You can only imagine, but they were very focused. And they were moving around that Capitol with a purpose. And throughout the day, I've seen so many things. But maybe you can pinpoint some questions here for me, and I'll certainly speak to them.
Well, thank you. I am a journalist, and I'm used to asking questions, of course. We want to just draw out what happened. Everyone has a different perspective. Of course, the news media has a certain perspective. But what percentage of the people were, you know, right-wing Republican activists, and what percentage were maybe there because they were Christians and they were believing God, and you know, some people even had a word that Trump is going to somehow prevail?
You know, I couldn't tell the difference for a couple of reasons. The primary reason I couldn't is because, you know, obviously you've got many that are patriots. They're on the grounds. They care about our country. But I saw when people were praying and pressing in around that Capitol, we had the privilege to be on the southwest portion of the Capitol. And I do want to put out just a quick disclaimer before I speak to some of these things. You know, I'm not an eyewitness to anything that happened inside of the Capitol. I'm not an eyewitness to anything that happened on the north side of the Capitol. But I'm certainly an eyewitness on the southwest and complete south portion of the Capitol, where patriots, and I say patriots, there's people that love our country. I'm not persuaded yet that some of them love God, but mixed with Christians who love God and love this country. And when the Christians were on that soil contending from many different parts of the south part of the Capitol, and I would assume it was happening all the way around, Patriots were getting involved. I mean, they may not have been praying the prayers, but many of them were closing their eyes and, you know, whether they had their Trump flags and they were honoring what was happening because that place was infused with blood-bought believers that were believing God for this nation.
Then why has the news media portrayed the gathering so different? In fact, someone told me, I have not had a chance to verify this, that PBS reported at 9 in the morning that Trump supporters were storming the Capitol. And of course, it didn't happen until hours later. I mean, it, you know, kind of makes you suspicious that, you know, this was some kind of plan. But I'm trying to understand, you know, I only personally know what I saw, you know, on the news media, which for me happened to be Fox News. And so I'm just interested in your perspective.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, the very thing you just spoke there was one of the confirmations, even since I've been driving back to New Mexico today, and I'm paused on the side of the road to have this podcast with you. But the one thing that I felt Holy Spirit early this morning, one of the confirmations about the reason he wanted me to go is because right now it is scary to only have the media's perception of what really happened on the ground yesterday. I got an inbox on my way there. We went with no plan. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got there. I just heard God say go, like many things in my life. And when I got on our way there, I get an inbox from someone that says, hey, we want to save you and your family. Seats on the southwest corner. I had no clue that Cindy Jacobs was going to be praying. I believe James Nesbitt was there. There was many other leaders that were praying and contending on the southwest corner of that Capitol. And so we walk in and worship's happening. I mean, there's a stage set up that the media definitely didn't want to talk about. Not a big stage, but just a simple stage with a piano and a worship leader in rotation with many different prayer warriors. And then surrounded on that backside, Steve, you had, it looked like an unbelievable army. I don't even want to begin to count. I can only define it as innumerable. I cannot define how many people were there, but we're talking a sea of people on the backside of this Capitol. And so I thought I would take a slight just kind of detour to that backside at one moment and just step away from the prayer that was happening and see what was happening in other parts. As soon as I begin to move, a man begins to come through that has a cart and a sound system, and he was an unbelievable preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he begins to cry out to the people. He says, now the victory is won, the battle is won. We have got to pray. We've got to praise God. Now keep in mind, the Jericho marches have been going on, and this man starts preaching a clear, precise gospel. Repent, get right with God. We're believing for this nation. And he just carries that cart through the crowd. So I almost follow him for a while. I'm watching patriots that are uncertain about what's happening. I don't even know if they knew God, but they were engaging. People were responding. I saw an eruption of a sea of hallelujahs happening. And at one point he begins to declare, now we must pray in the Holy Ghost. And he just starts praying in the Spirit of God and with his prayer language. And I'm listening to a sea of people, many of them with the language of heaven. So there's no way anyone's going to convince me. And that's been my concern in this since I've seen some of the media's updates on this, is that somehow while focusing on what could have happened in the Capitol with Antifa, that somehow gained so much. They get the credit for this major event while it discredits what's happened in the body of Christ and those that were on that soil contending for the saving of this nation. And so I saw that first. I saw very restrained sea of people on the backside of that Capitol. Many of them, of course, shouting, stop the steal, and, you know, many different patriotic things, sounds being released. But I also, the church was not at home sleeping, Steve. They were on the Capitol grounds, and they were contending with great intensity. And I believe even in that sea of people, many of them were convicted and were able to get their hearts right from one man that came through the crowd dragging just a small little trailer, releasing the sound of the gospel. And I still believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so that was one piece of what I saw yesterday.
Well, of course, as Christians, we believe that. But, you know, in the national discourse, that's not it at all. In fact, as the various media have discredited, you know, the patriots, as we call them, or conservatives or Trump supporters, there has been practically nothing about all the prophetic words because they don't first of all, they may not know about it. Second of all, they don't care. Now, there are certain groups that do monitor that kind of thing, and there were some prophetic words, and, you know, that's a subject for another day. I'm more interested in what you're saying. I was able to listen to some of President Trump's speech as I had to drive from one appointment to another, you know, where he listed those 18 very specific examples. I thought it was a fairly typical Trump speech from my perspective. I did not hear the whole thing. And, you know, people come to Washington all the time for redress of grievances. You know, it's part of our Constitution, of course. But, you know, Christian people have almost, I mean, there's only an extremist or two who have ever been violent, ever. And it's roundly condemned. And conservatives as a group do not tend to be violent. Not like the violence we saw, you know, last summer. Certainly not like the violence that we saw, you know, or that I saw when I was in college with the Vietnam War protests and so forth. So how in the world did this go from being, you know, people doing Jericho marches, preaching the gospel, as you just said, people praying, and, you know, at least in a small part of the crowd, having praise and worship, to where Trump supporters apparently scaled the walls, broke windows. I saw a little bit of it in video on TV. Get into the Capitol, trash it, occupy the Senate floor. How in the world did this happen?
Steve, I remember one moment of transition. There was prayers going up from the side that I was at. There was shouting. There was declarations being made. And then there was an announcement at one point that was transitional. And now where we were at the stage portion on the southwest corner, they kind of had live updates of what was happening inside the Senate. And so they played little pieces. And when they got done playing a few little pieces, we began to move back into prayer. And then there was a sudden announcement in the prayers that let's hold on 1 second. The motorcade for Vice President Mike Pence is now leaving. Now we suddenly begin to see the black SUVs. I mean, everybody's still behind the barricades, you know, or the barriers. And he's beginning to pull off with multiple vehicles within minutes. I can't tell you an exact time frame. I just know that I remember that happening. Everybody was thanking Mike Pence, you know, from the crowd for, you know, his service and different things. You could hear just different things being declared. Now, of course, I don't know if they had a live update yet on what exactly had happened there. But within minutes, suddenly, I look to the right and I see the crowd up further. Now, I'm knowing that there's the barricades right there. Of course, there's some commotion. I walk through the crowd because I want to see what's happening over here. And so we see officers, you know, they're standing in front of the barriers. And then I slowly start seeing these barriers. They're moving and the people are moving forward. Now we're talking patriots, Christians. I see appeal to heaven flags. I see don't tread on me. I see Trump, not just Trump stuff. I mean, we're talking patriotic declarations. And I see those barriers suddenly moving. And then there's like a break in this where people are moving forward. Now, as they're moving forward, I'm watching maybe 10, 15, 20 feet, 30 feet, and the thing's progressing, okay? And then at one point, it gains some momentum. Now, we're talking about a sea of people now moving. We're not talking about 10 people in Antifa. I'm talking about a sea, like an army, beginning to progress forward and forward and forward. And suddenly, I start seeing the Capitol Police. I mean, they're backing off because now these people have hit the stairs of the Capitol. And so once they back off, I'm seeing them literally backpedal up the stairs. They don't even know what to do. No firearms were drawn, none of that at this point. I just see them almost like a declaration. So two things that I saw, the barriers go down, and then at the American people almost like our voice and our vote is going to be heard in that Capitol. And that's what concerns me about the media painting some picture almost just like there was some, you know, some random violent takeover as if they overtook the police. But I see the police just backing up and slowly they're going up the stairs. Now we're talking a sea of people and they literally push back not only the barriers, but law enforcement all the way to the top of the Capitol on the southwest corner. And this would be actually just the south corner of the Capitol, because later it moves over to the left side into the southwest corner. But as they climb up, I see them going to the top. I don't see anything violent. I just see the cops moving, and they're moving. Finally, these people are at the top of this Capitol. I can't tell you what happened there. I can't tell you what happened on the north side. I can't tell you simultaneously something was happening in the Capitol. But they were once they got to the top of that thing, and they even held down the platform of that Capitol, I heard the sound of the national anthem come forth, Steve, like an army is singing the national anthem. And they sing it, God, you know, and they just start, they were singing patriotic songs. I mean, they were declaring USA. I mean, this was not just a certain people group. This was the voice of the American people being heard. And so prophetically, from my perspective, I stood there thinking to myself, a barrier just went down. I heard the word breakthrough. I can't tell you about anything else that was happening. So barriers went down. I felt breakthrough. Secondly, I felt the voice of the American people. If they're not going to be heard out here, they're going to be heard as close as they possibly can to what's happening in that House and Senate floor. I saw appeal to heaven flags being flown. I mean, these were people, these are Christians as well, that was in this sea of people that had crossed over just to be heard.
Well, your observations are very interesting, but it still doesn't explain why people, they took large objects and were breaking out windows. At least that's the video I saw. And then, you know, unfortunately, a young woman was actually shot. The speculation was it was from, you know, a stray bullet from law enforcement. Of course, you know, time will tell what really happened. And other things that you know, neither you nor I were observant. And of course, the media and the left is making this very seriously. And I want to make clear that I nor my organization approve of any kind of violence at all, period.
Right.
And we don't condone what happened. Now, it sounds like maybe it was peaceful protest that went awry, which is exactly the terminology that people used last summer, where, you know, people were upset about different things. It had to do with police violence and things like that. And, you know, they'd be peacefully protesting. Then the next thing you know, stores were being looted and police precincts were being set on fire and that kind of thing. And that's not right either. However, somehow the fact that it was the capital of the United States on such a historic day almost makes it a whole lot worse. And my concern is that it's really going to hurt President Trump's legacy. He will be remembered. There will be people in the media and in government and the deep state that will make sure that everyone remembers him for this. And I just appreciate you giving your perspective. Of course, anytime somebody gives an eyewitness, you know, I remember the story about the three blind men and the elephant. The three blind men were asked to describe the elephant. Of course, they could not see the whole elephant, and one felt his side and said, an elephant is like the side of a barn, and the other grabbed his leg and said, an elephant is like a tree trunk, and, you know, the third one, you know, grabbed his trunk and said, you know, an elephant is like a big fire hose, and each of them accurately reported, so to speak, you know,
right.
What they could feel, or, you know, because they couldn't see, but they couldn't see the whole elephant. And so, you know, even as you were talking and making clear that you were just, you know, reporting what you saw and that you weren't on the other side, and we're speculating too. You know, this is very, very soon. This just barely happened 24 hours before we're recording this podcast, and I so appreciate you, you know, agreeing to, you know, interrupt your trip long enough to do this podcast. So as we wrap this up, because there's a limit really to, you know, how much detail we can go into,
right.
I want to give you the last word to try to deal with some of the things that I raised, some of the issues I raised, and also to put this into perspective.
Right. Well, Steve, and honestly, I stand with you. You know, when it comes to violent acts and different things, obviously none of us approve of that. You know, I will say there was a moment yesterday when I heard the sounds of patriotic songs and everybody that had moved forward. there was such a break. I didn't feel at any moment, though I saw vans come in, I saw, you know, SWAT team, all that, everybody got out, helmets, ready to go. But there came a point where yesterday I didn't see law enforcement feel threatened. At one point, I see a row of law enforcement just standing at the bottom of the stairs while the people had made it all the way to the top. And it was no longer being restricted in any way, shape, or form. Anybody at any moment, Steve, could have walked as far as they wanted on those Capitol grounds. And it reminded me of what President Trump tweeted yesterday. Please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement, for they are truly on the side of our country. And I felt in that moment when there was such a break, even the people that are called to guard and protect the Capitol knew that the sound of the American people and their vote and their voice and their concern of election fraud is so important that we have to allow, this is my perspective, I'm not speaking for them, but from what I saw, we have to allow their voice to be heard, because people were freely roaming without any pushback anymore, anywhere on the backside of that Capitol that you wanted to be.
Well, it's very interesting to hear your perspective, and appreciate the fact that you've agreed to write an op-ed for charismanews.com, and we will embed this podcast with that article. And I know that people will want to read the article and you know, obviously listening to the podcast if they're still with us, and will want to share this with other people. And so if somebody wanted to find out more about your ministry, I guess they could Google Caleb Cooper or New Hope Revival Church in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, or is there a better way to reach you?
The easiest way, Steve, is just CalebCooperMinistries.com.
Boy, that can't be much easier than that. Thank you so much for taking time. I find that I thank many of my guests, but never have I interviewed a guest who is driving from Washington, D.C. back to New Mexico. But because this is so timely, you know, I wanted to get it out today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Steve.
And thank you to my listeners for listening to The Strang Report. And tune in again tomorrow for another podcast of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.